Yeah. Welcome to episode 68 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip. What's happening? What up, though? Hey, we got a lot to talk about today, man. We got the playoff games all aligned right now. We got the times. We got the matchups. You feel me? We got some teams that was supposedly making the playoffs all year, and they missed the playoffs now. We got, is C.J. Stroud a top five quarterback? Can the Bills make it to the Super Bowl? There's a lot of things to talk about. But first, we're going to start off with the matchup last night, Sunday Night Football. Buffalo traveled all the way to Miami for a game that basically whoever won this game was going to be the two seed. Whoever won this game was going to be the two seed and was going to have home games all the way up until preferably the last game versus the Ravens. Or if the Ravens get knocked off, it's going to have to come through Buffalo. Who knows, man? It's the playoffs. Anything can happen in the playoffs. But let's specifically talk about this game yesterday. Bills won. Bills came down there and took over Miami. They took over the streets of Fort Lauderdale. They took over Miami. They took over the stadium. Hard Rock Stadium was full of Buffalo fans. You can hear it in the crowd. Every time Buffalo made a play, it was loud as ever. Like, Buffalo fans travel. If you know anything about Buffalo or playing in Buffalo, they got real diehard fans in Buffalo. So that's one of them organizations in the NFL that's damn near ran like a college. Like, you know how college fans are. They travel, they big, they everywhere, and they real, like, Buffalo is like a big ass student section. The Bills got fans like they got a student section. That's just how they are, man. But great performance by the Bills, man, yesterday. I'm going to just read off some of the stats real quick first, and then I'm going to jump into what I want to talk about fairly about the game. Josh Allen was 30 for 38, 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 3 sacks. He also had 15 carries for 67 yards. He had some pivotal, I ain't going to call them tush pushes because he was jumping over them. So I'm going to call it Rocket launcher QB sneaks, where he was sneaking to the left or jump over to get the first down. He had a couple of those that can help move the chains and help give them another possession, another first down to continue to create. Like I said, he was 15 for 15 carries, 67 yards, led the team in rushing. Shakir, 6 catches, 105 yards. Stephon Diggs, 7 catches, 87 yards. Kincaid, 7 catches, 84 yards. Sheffield, 3 catches, 24 yards, 1 touchdown. Dawson Knox, 2 catches, 22 yards, 1 touchdown. Cook, 3 catches, 16 yards. Hardy, 1 catch, 12 yards. Johnson, the running back number 26, 1 catch for 9 yards. And that was a bad 1 catch for 9 yards because obviously that was a mess up by Josh Allen. They had the ball with 11 seconds left in the red zone inside the 15-yard line. I think it was inside the 10-yard line. They had no timeouts. You have to throw the ball in the end zone or out of the end zone. The score was 7-14 at that point. They were down. Yep, they were down at that point. And Josh Allen threw the ball inbounds, and they tackled him inbounds, and they were not able to spike the ball and, you know, get him a chance to kick the field goal. So they lost points out right there. Josh Allen basically lost points right there. He either lost 7 points or he lost 3 points. Like, that was a mental error by him. You know you didn't have no timeouts. 11 seconds is not enough time to run a play and get a spike. It's not going to happen like that. You got to throw the ball out of bounds and give yourself some points. He also threw a red zone interception in the first half, in the first quarter, where he was throwing it to Gabe Davis, and Eli Apple picked it off. It was an empty blitz where he had to rush and throw the ball because the pressure was in his face. And he picked it off. It just, like, he had some turnovers. He had two interceptions in the first quarter. So his first quarter was pretty bad. But he allowed his team to win. The reason that the Bills won yesterday was because of Josh Allen. Nah, he could have been the reason they lost as well. But they won, so he's the reason they won. He had a great game yesterday, though, but minus his turnovers, you know, two of his incompletions were interceptions. He also got sacked and lost the ball on a fumble. Christian Wilkins sacked, fumble, took the ball from him. So he accounted for three turnovers. You don't really want to be turning the ball over, especially on a roll with the 2 seed on the line against an offense that scored 70 points this year. Buffalo's defense looked good yesterday. Secondary was challenging. You know, even Rasul Douglas had went down. But they got their two captains back in the back end. They got Poyer. They got Micah Hyde back there. That tandem right there has been Buffalo tandem for the longest. So they're both back healthy and they're, you know, leading the defense the best way they can. They got Daquan Jones back. He's causing havoc. TFL's in the backfield, rushing the passer, you know, creating havoc from the 3 and the 1 tech, doing his thing. An underrated player on this Bills defense, I would say, is Johnson, number 7, a nickelback. He's been a nickelback for this team for damn near, I think his whole career has been in Buffalo. I think it's like his 6th or 7th year, probably, maybe his 8th year, but he's been a pivotal piece of that defense. He's a leader. He's a captain. He plays hard. Like, he don't really make a lot of mistakes. Number 7, you can tell he plays the same way every game, and that's what you want from any type of player in the NFL, period. And he gives you consistent, great plays, for sure. So this defense is able to make plays in moments. Shit, they held Miami to 14 points at home. This is a Miami team that scored 70 points this year. This is a Miami team that have scored 36 points, 70 points, 42 points, 31 points. 45 points. 34 points. So this is a Miami team that can really score the ball with anybody. They was the number one offense in the league. They have the number one offensive player in the league in Tyreek Hill. He's been the only receiver in NFL history to go over, 1,700 yards or 1,800 yards in 2 consecutive seasons and 10-plus touchdowns. Out of all the receivers we've seen in the NFL all this time, he's been the first person to do that. So you have that weapon on your team. You have a running back that has scored over 20 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. You have Achane that is he's a nasty weapon out of that backfield. Achane is a weapon, and if he's able to stay healthy, man, he's a problem. He is a problem out of that backfield. Miami drafted him, finding him. That was a great, great, great pickup, man, because he be running the hell out of that ball, and it just seemed like everybody else be moving in slow motion and he be sliding on some Chris Johnson type stuff. But, yeah, this Buffalo defense was able to come into Miami and only allow 14 points. And they only allowed the 14 points in the second quarter. Miami scored their 14 points in the second quarter. They didn't score for the rest of the game. They didn't score in the first quarter. They didn't score in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. The second half, Buffalo's defense literally shut Miami down. The second half, they shut them down. Let me just go to possessions. The first Miami possession in the third quarter, 3 and out. Shit, they only had what, 4? Oh, wow. Miami only had 4 plays in the third quarter. 4 plays, bro. So Buffalo had the ball in the third quarter for damn near 13 minutes. 13, 14 minutes. That's wild. Miami literally only had the ball for 3 plays. For 4 plays in the third quarter. So that just meant like Miami couldn't stop them. They couldn't get no turnovers. They couldn't stop them on downs. They couldn't stop the run. They just couldn't get a stop. And you're not going to win like that in the playoffs. If you're Miami, you're not going to win like that in the playoffs if you can't get a stop. And your offense can't score. So you can't get a stop. You can't get the ball back to your offense that has 2, you know, supposedly MVP candidates on their team and Tua and Tariq Hill, really only 1. Tariq Hill is the only MVP on that team, candidate on that team. I know Tua done some things. I'm going to get to him in a minute. But Tariq Hill is the only legitimate MVP candidate on that team. But we know the MVP race is over. Lamar Jackson has won it 2 times. There we go. So they only had the ball for 4 plays in the third quarter. Let's see. We have fourth quarter. We got 1 3-and-out in the fourth quarter by them. 2 3-and-outs in the fourth quarter by the bomb. And then the last drive where it's 14-21 and you got the ball back with 153, the fourth play, Tua throws an interception. So two three and outs in the fourth quarter. Two. When your team needs you to most, when your team needs you the most, when they need you to make plays, when they need you to find the guys like Tua, find Achan, find Cedric Wilson, when they need you to find these guys, you do two, three, and outs. Now, is that McDaniel or is that Tua? Because playmakers going to make it happen. You feel me? Like, it's all good when the game, when you're up in the game and you can rock and roll and you keeping receipts and, oh, I'm not, like, I remember the interview that Tua did a few weeks ago where he was just like, oh, I'm not even good without Tariq. Oh, I'm just this. Oh, I don't really care. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. I'm like, okay, we're going to see in a couple weeks. And then in a couple weeks, you lose two games in a row to finish your season. You could have, you went from potentially being the one seed 2 weeks ago, from potentially competing for the one seed to now you're the sixth seed and now you're traveling on the road for most likely all of the playoffs. So it was about to go through Miami. Think about that. Tua was your quarterback. Tua didn't miss a game this year. Tua didn't miss one game this year. Tua played the entire year. Kudos to him because he's able to stay healthy and he did his thing and he played every game this year. They were a team that was competing to be the one seed literally like two, three weeks ago. And now they just lost home field advantage. They knocked the AFC East division champions. And now they're a sixth seed. And now they have to travel to Kansas City in 0 degree weather and try to get a win in Kansas City. Even though all the things that's going on in Kansas City, they got to try to go win there. We gonna see how that works, man. I just didn't like what I seen from Tua today. I didn't like what I seen. Last night. 17 for 27, 173 yards, two interceptions. Like the interceptions he threw was really, really bad interceptions. They were bad interceptions. The interception he threw at the end of the game, that was terrible. You literally see the safety flying out there to the outside. I know you want to get the ball out early because that's the type of quarterback you are. I got to get the ball out early, blah, blah, blah. I'm more of a timing offense than, you feel me? I'm more of a whatever, man. 173 yards with the division on the line, with the two seed on the line, in your own backyard, and you lose to a Buffalo team twice this year. They lost to Buffalo twice this year. The first time they played Buffalo, they got their ass whooped in Buffalo. I think it was like 48 to like 21 or 20. They whooped them bad. And then you come and lose at home to Buffalo. To basically Josh Allen. Josh Allen kind of took over this game. Yeah, he turned the ball over. And you got to understand, when you got Josh Allen as your quarterback, he going to turn the ball over a couple times. Because he's that type of guy. Like, he's that type of go-getter. But sometimes, he be on some Brett Favre shit a little bit sometimes. Like, you know, Brett Favre going to... He gonna turn the ball over too. I just feel like that's what Josh Allen, that's the type of mentality he has. That's the type of quarterback he is. You gotta live and die with Josh Allen. You have to. So I respect that. And he's a game changer. Josh Allen is a game changer. Tua, on the other hand, he didn't play like a game changer the last few games to me. Even when they beat Dallas. He only scored one touchdown in that game. I think the score was what, 22 to 20. Their offense only scored one touchdown. Yeah, the field goal kicker hit five field goals. So they scored one touchdown at home versus the Cowboys. So how has the offense been the last 3 weeks that they've played? How have the offense been the last 3 weeks? It's been down. Tariq Hill hasn't went over 100 yards in the last three games or the last four games. He didn't play versus the Jets. Versus the Cowboys, Tariq Hill had 99 yards receiving, not 100. Versus the Ravens, Tariq Hill had 76 yards receiving, not 100. And yesterday versus the Bills, Tariq had 82 yards receiving, not 100. So if Tariq Hill ain't giving you 80-yard touchdowns here and there and, you know, 198 receiving yards or 200 receiving yards in one game or over 150 for, I think Tariq Hill went over 150 yards receiving in like 6 or 7 games this year. Like, that shit is unheard of. But if he ain't doing that, then how does the offense look? It looks like it looked yesterday with Tua only throwing for 173 yards. So Miami got some problems, and if they lose these last – they just lost the last 2 games. If they lose versus the Chiefs, they would have ended their season losing 3 games in a row after a promising start to this year. And I don't think that's going to be good for nobody. Do you give Tua $50 million, a 5-year deal, $50 million each per year? Do you just write a check like that for Tua after you seeing what you seen? I don't know. I'm just asking. Because the league going to continue to adjust. The league going to continue to get better. The league going to continue to understand. They're going to have a whole offseason to study Mike McDaniel's offense and all the motions and all the trick plays and all of that. They're going to have a whole offseason to prepare for that. Can you just drop back and throw the ball and pick apart a defense when it ain't on timing? Can you do that? We're going to have to see. Good win for the Bills, man. Obviously, the Bills are the 2 seed. Great win because the Bills, I'm going to say, they started off the season very, very, very slow. And it was because of Josh Allen fought, for sure. It was Josh Allen fought. The reason they were losing because of Josh Allen fought. The last 5 games after the bye week, the Bills went 5-0. They beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. They beat the Cowboys down. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Patriots. Then they beat the Dolphins. 5-0 to end the season to put themselves in position to win the 2 seed. And if you heard me, I said this a few weeks ago. I said this like damn near 4 weeks ago before, or 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think I said it after the Cowboys game. I said, they're going to win a division because they're going to win these next games. And the Dolphins were going to lose to the Ravens, and they're probably going to lose to the Cowboys, but they beat the Cowboys. And they was going to lose to, or the last game was going to come down to who's going to win a division and who's going to win the 2 seed. And I said the Bills is going to win. They were just going to have that momentum. So I've been saying this on previous Speak on the podcasts. And, hey, I ain't going to say I told you so, but I'm a Miami Dolphin for sure. But I'm just saying what I'm seeing. So we're going to see in the playoffs, man. It's going to be tough for Miami to go down into Kansas City in a 0-degree weather and do the things they do and win that game. Patrick Mahomes is used to playing in those conditions. We're going to see if you can take that South Beach weather down there into Kansas City and win a game. We're going to see. All right, moving forward. Let's talk about the Jags, man. The Jaguars, they literally been in the 4 seed all year. They've been the head of the division all year. And then they just blew it. Then they just lost. The Jaguars, if they won yesterday versus the Titans in Tennessee, they would have went on to go to the playoffs. I think the Steelers would have been out of the playoffs. Or if the Bills lost, the Bills would have been out of the playoffs. So all the Jaguars had to do was go in and win yesterday. The Jaguars in the last 6 games, the Jaguars are 1-5. The last 6 games of the year, they were 1-5. Trevor Lawrence didn't miss not 1 game. I think the jig is up on the Trevor Lawrence, man. I think you're kind of going to get what you get. I think the division is going to move forward because Houston and C.J. Stroud, I'm going to get into that in a minute. But I think you got a new leader in that division. I think C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence right now. I just said what I said. C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback in his division. And that, what is that, the AFC South? Let me make sure. Yeah, that's the AFC South. C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback in the AFC South. And those quarterbacks in there is Trevor Lawrence, Richardson, the rookie from the Colts, and you got Will Levis. That's probably going to be the – future quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. CJ Stroud is the best quarterback. But let's talk about these Jaguars, man. How they blow it like that after basically being one of the better teams all year. And then when the games get a little bit more serious, you're playing for a little bit more in the later part of the year. When, you know, the attention to detail becomes a lot bit more, you know, pivotal. And now you know what you're going to get from teams. You can't step up and win when you need to win. Like, what's up with that? Trevor Lawrence yesterday was 29 for 43, 280 yards, two interceptions, two touchdowns. Like, and then on the fourth down play, he, like, to end the game, he threw the ball literally out of bounds. Like, he didn't give Evan Engram not even a chance. Like, you got to understand, if you throw the ball out of bounds, you don't even have a chance. I would rather throw the ball directly at him, and maybe he's able to muscle the ball from the defender. Maybe it's a tip pass. Maybe, you feel me, man, and then the wide receiver catch it. Maybe something miraculous happened, and the wide receiver catches the ball, and they keep it going. But when you just throw the ball out of bounds, and this is only like a 5-yard out. This wasn't even like a difficult pass. Like, this is a routine pass that the Prince, you know, Nick Wright always called him the Prince, should be able to make easily. I knew it was tight coverage, but you still have to give your tight end a chance to catch the ball. I'm telling you, when a DB is locked on you, he kind of lacks himself because he's like, man, they ain't going to throw the ball. They ain't going to throw the ball to you. I'm right here. They ain't going to throw the ball. That's probably some of the best times to throw it because your DB probably, he's in chill mode. He like, man, I'm locking him up. They ain't about to throw him the ball. You got to give your wide receiver a chance, man. You have to. The Jaguars just fell apart. They fell apart. Trevor Lawrence let him down, man. Like, he wasn't able to win these games. Like I said, they lost the last – they early in the season, they won the first game, lost the next two games. Then they went on a 5-game winning streak. Then they lost to the 49ers. Then they went on a 2-game winning streak, beat the Titans, and then beat the Texans. Then they went on a 4-game losing streak. They lost to the Bengals. They lost to the Bengals at home in overtime versus Jake Browning. The Bengals didn't even have Joe Burrow. Then they lost to – they lost to the Browns in Cleveland against Joe Flacco. I think that was Joe Flacco's first start. Then they lost to the Ravens on Sunday night. And that was at home, too. Scored 7 points on Sunday night. And the 7 points they scored was on a trick play to Agnew, like a wheel route or something like that. Then they lost to the Buccaneers. They lost to the Bucs. 30-12. Then they beat the Panthers 26-0. Then they lost the last game to the Titans 28-20. So they just folded. They just collapsed. And I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's the quarterback play. I don't know if it's the defense. But the Jaguars have issues. I think Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback, but when all of this media and all of these people try to anoint these quarterbacks so early, I just kind of sit back and look like, no, I got to see you play at Patrick Mahomes' level to ever put you in the same sentence as him. You feel me? I got to see you play at Lamar Jackson's level to ever put you in that same sentence with him. I can't just be like, oh, Trevor Lawrence is a top 5 quarterback. Hell no, he not. Trevor Lawrence not a top 5 quarterback? Trevor Lawrence is not a top 5 quarterback. And I think there's some quarterbacks that's creeping past him as well. So he has to find out what type of guy he's going to be. He has to reinvest himself into the team, into the love of the game. Because I always keep in mind what his father said prior to him being drafted. Like, his father basically said, like, football is not an end-all, be-all. You know, he don't need football and things like that. He kind of said something in that spectrum of, you know, my son, this ain't the end-all, be-all. He has more important things to think about than football. And I'm not saying he's wrong for that. He knows his kid. He's not wrong for that. But if you look at it, and as a football player, as an analyst, as a media, as a podcaster, whatever, you're going to start to see, like, man, is he really fully invested? Can he will his team? Does his spirit beat through this team? I don't know, man. But bad loss for them. They missing the playoffs. That's a bad loss. That is a bad, 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 bad loss. But moving on from that. I pose this question. Who's had the most impressive season so far? And I said the three teams I put on there, I just put three. Because I feel like these are some of the teams I wanted to talk about. And let's talk about it. Who had the most impressive regular season? The Browns, the Houston Texans, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The Browns were they had one of the best rosters to start the season. Before Nick Chubb got hurt, before Deshaun Watson got hurt, they had missed Jack Conklin, a starting tackle in this league, one of the best starting tackles in this league. Another rookie tackle from Ohio State got hurt. So they dealt with injuries, but they always had like a good roster. And they lost their franchise quarterback. They lost him, I think, at like around like week 8, week 7, something like that. Let me see. Let me make sure. When was Deshaun Watson's last game? It was versus the Ravens, but it was at the Ravens. That was week 10. They lost him week 10. So I think they've had an impressive year. I think they had an impressive year knowing that they have played like four quarterbacks. They played P.J. Walker. They played Dorian Thompson, a rookie from UCLA, Deshaun Watson, and then they signed Joe Flacco, and they've been playing him. He's been a starter the last 5-6 weeks. He had a 4-1 record. I think they were a great team around whatever quarterback they had because they won games with Dorian Thompson. They won a game. Browns. Let me make sure because they won some big games this year. They beat the 49ers with P.J. Walker. They beat the 49ers with P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker got 2 wins. They beat the Colts as well. And they beat the Cardinals. Who was the Cardinals quarterback? Deshaun Watson that came back. Then he had missed that game. They beat the Steelers with Dorian Thompson. So they beat teams with other quarterbacks. P.J. Walker, they beat him. They beat teams with him as the quarterback. They beat teams with Dorian Thompson. So the team around the quarterback has been good. They always have weapons. David Njoku, Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, of course. Before they traded Peoples-Jones, he was pretty good for them. So they've had guys. Kareem Hunt, Jerome Ford. And their defense has been a top defense in the league. They've been a top five defense all year. All year they've been a top five defense. And they damn near got the defensive player of the year on their defense in Myles Garrett. So the Browns have been impressive, but they've always been a team that was pretty good around whatever quarterback they could implement. They just needed a serviceable quarterback. And Joe Flacco was there. He was a veteran. He's won a championship. He knows that division. Obviously, he played with the Ravens all those years. He can still throw the ball. He's actually made David Njoku better for sure. So they just needed a serviceable quarterback to, you know, keep the engine going. And just don't turn the ball over and give the defense back with great field position. Keep the defense playing well by not turning over the ball and scoring points. So they've done that. So they've been impressive this year. Houston has been impressive. C.J. Stroud, probably the offensive rookie of the year. Will Anderson, probably the defensive rookie of the year. C.J. Stroud is in an MVP conversation for earlier this year. He was also a guy that threw like 15 touchdowns before he even threw an interception this year. He had some big wins this year. He's very accurate with the ball. C.J. Stroud is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, top five for sure. If he's not top five, he's six for sure. You can't tell me six better quarterbacks than C.J. Stroud, especially from what we've seen and what we anticipate him doing moving forward because he has that type of hunger and grit. You can just hear it in his press conferences. You can see it on the field, his emotion, his leadership, the way he came back and won some games at the end. Like we watched him drive the ball down the field at the end of the game and score touchdowns to win the game. that shit looked like Tom Brady a little bit. But I'm impressed with what they got going on there in Houston. D'Amico Ryans, definitely a coach of the year candidate. They made the playoffs this year as well. They won a division. They won the AFC South. They won the AFC South. So they host a home game. They ain't been to the playoffs in a while. They ain't been to the playoffs in a good while. Probably about 3-4 years. And they play the Browns. Now, if Deshaun Watson was actually playing, that would have been a nice matchup. It would have been a nice little reunion. That would have been something to pay attention to. But he's still the quarterback of that team, so I'm sure he's going to be there. But it's going to be a great matchup. And my last team was the Bucs. Baker Mayfield got a chance to rejuvenate his career. Mike Evans still a dog out there. Todd Boyles. They was able to muster up what they had and win a division after Tom Brady left. Think about that. Tom Brady leaves your team, Baker Mayfield comes in, and you're able to win the division and go to the playoffs. Still, that's big time right there. Obviously, that division is kind of damn bad when you got the Falcons in there, you got the Panthers in there, and you got the Saints. But the Bucs wasn't that much better than them either. But they won. They were one of the teams that survived that conference, and they won. So what was their record? The Buccaneers is 9-8, 4-2 in the division. So that was a good job by them. So like I said, the Bucs did their thing. I would vote Baker Mayfield the comeback player of the year. Knowing last year, I think he had played on like, what, 2 or 3 teams. He played on the Rams last year. He played on the Carolina last year. I think he played on both of those teams last year. And to come back this year and to do what he did with the Buccaneers this year, lead them to the playoffs and actually throw the ball and manage his team really, really well. I like what I seen from him. If he can continue to do that, then I would see why he was the number one overall pick of the draft. Keep doing his thing. But to me, the most impressive team out of those three teams I just named, it would have to be Houston. Because the Browns had a great roster, great coaching. And they had, they had all the pieces to do great things this year. So we would anticipate them doing well. The Bucs, they were literally just coming off last year, going to the playoffs, had Tom Brady. So they had still quality pieces and the coaching to where they can just add a quarterback, another serviceable quarterback, and be able to, put themselves in position to make the playoffs. But Houston, I didn't expect Houston to win 5 games this year. Like, there was so much out about C.J. Stroud before he got drafted. Oh, we don't know if he can read the IQ, the quarterback IQ test. His is too low. Can he read the field? All of these things was coming out prior to the draft. And I'm like, bro, y'all just cut on the tape. If you cut on the tape, this dude can really throw the ball accurately, anticipation and everything. But I knew it was his rookie year, and I didn't know how good he was going to be. But he showed up. Like I said, early in this year, he was damn near in the MVP talk. That's big right there. The team is playing well. Tank Dell, Nico Collins. And he don't have these great pieces around him. He don't have he don't have a real big name around him at all. He's made a lot of these guys way better. Noah Brown had some big games this year. Damn near, I think he had a game where he had over 200 yards receiving in one game. Nico Collins had that all. He was 3 yards away from 1,300 yards this year. Nico Collins, he doubled his yards and catches from his previous 2 years. Double digit touchdowns, 1,300 yards, and over 70 catches. Balled. Tank Dell, before he got hurt, was balling. They still got guys. Devin Singletary running the ball pretty well. Laremy Tunsil locking down the offensive line. And the defense playing well. Derek Stingley and Steven Nelson, I think they both have 4-plus interceptions. What is it? Petrie, the safety number 5. He's back there active, roaming around the field. They got I think they just got Kareem Jackson back. They just got Kareem Jackson back on the team. Man, they just got some pieces. They got pieces, and they playing pretty well. So I think the most impressive team out of the teams I just named this year was the Houston Texans. They have done their thing for sure, for sure, for sure. So shout out to Houston making the playoffs, hosting the home playoff game. And Houston, y'all got y'all franchise quarterback. And I think he should be the quarterback there for the next 15, 20 years. Take care of him. He on his rookie contract. Go out there and sign the guys you need to sign. Go and spend a bag on him for another great receiver. Go and spend a bag. Maybe get a nice little running back. Go and get some defense and make it happen. That's what I'm seeing. Love to see that. Let's move on from this. Obviously, there's some the playoffs matchups this year. Playoffs are set. We have the first playoff game next Saturday. The Browns travel down to Houston at 4:30. They play in that game. Then the Dolphins travel to Arrowhead and play the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And then you have the first game on Sunday. Steelers travel to Buffalo, play the Bills. Second game, Green Bay Packers travel to Jerry's World and play the Cowboys. And then you have the Rams for the Sunday night game. You have the Rams traveling all the way from L.A. to Detroit to play the Detroit Lions. And then on Monday night, the wild card weekend is finished with the Eagles traveling down to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. The first matchup I want to talk about. First off, we got Tariq Hill going back to Arrowhead. That's going to be big. They played early this year, and it was a home game for the Chiefs, but they chose to play in Germany for whatever reason. But now they get their chance. The Dolphins are traveling to Arrowhead. Tariq will return back to, you know, his home that he played for in Kansas City for, I think, 6 years? That's going to be a good one. Another return is Green Bay. You know, Mike McCarthy playing his former team that he won a Super Bowl with, the Packers. They travel to Texas, Dallas. I think Aaron Jones is from Texas. So it's going to be some ties in there. And then you got the Rams, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford. Obviously, Matthew Stafford played for the Lions for over 10 years. Jared Goff playing his former team, a team that he took to the Super Bowl. Yeah, they lost, and they only scored 3 points in the Super Bowl, but he took them there. Sean McVay basically playing against his former quarterback as well. The defense coordinator playing against, you know, Jared Goff as well. So there's a lot of interesting matchups that's going to happen. I'm going to briefly talk about some of these matchups because that's what I want to do. I'm going to start off with the Dolphins and the Chiefs. Dolphins-Chiefs, I think that's going to be a good game. I don't think the Dolphins like the taste that they have in their mouth right now. They lost the last two games to finish the season. They went from having a guaranteed at least two home games in the playoffs to not having any now. They're not going to have any home games in the playoffs being a sixth seed at all. So now they have to travel to Arrowhead and play against Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, Snead, you feel me, Chris Jones. And this is the Super Bowl defending champions. Like, even though the Chiefs have went through what they went through this year, they still know how to play football when it matters. They still know how to, you know, overcome the odds and win when it matters. You still got Patrick Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in NFL, period. No matter his numbers, no matter the drops, I don't care what nobody say. I'm not putting nobody – until he fall completely off or somebody show me something totally crazy and do that for another 5-6 years, then I'll be like, all right, well, you better than Mahomes. But I don't think none of these quarterbacks are better than Mahomes. Not none of them. I think Lamar Jackson is playing at a high level, but he ain't better than Lamar Holmes. That sounds sweet, though. Lamar Mahomes, that sounds sweet. He ain't better than Patrick Mahomes. But I think this is going to be a good game, man. I think this is going to be a good game. Obviously, the Chiefs have some issues with their wide receivers dropping the ball. It's going to be cold, so we're going to see how that goes. The Dolphins, we're going to see how they play. Will they be able to stop the run? Because the Chiefs are going to run the ball. Pacheco is going to run the ball. They're going to get the ball to their guys. How locked in are Miami Dolphins? How locked in are they going to be able to be in the freezing cold in Arrowhead on the road? How many Dolphin fans are going to travel to Arrowhead from Miami? Like, all of these things are advantages for the Chiefs. The Chiefs know how to play in the cold. The Dolphins, they don't play in the cold. It's like 90 degrees down there in Miami right now. So, trust me. I know. I've played for Miami myself. I remember going up into a playoff game, and I'm from the Midwest, so I can deal with the cold. I know about the cold. I've been in the cold my whole life. So it didn't affect me like that. I knew the fuck how to fucking play in the cold. But some guys don't know how to play in the cold. You feel me? Some guys don't know how to make that adjustment. You won't get the best from some guys in the cold. That's what it is. Tariq know how to play in the cold. Yeah, because he played with the Chiefs for sure. But we're going to see, man. We're going to see. I think that's going to be a good game. I'll give y'all my pick later on in the week. But I think the key thing is going to be Tua. What Tua is going to show up? Is he going to be able to throw these perfect passes in the cold and in the wind? And is he going to be able to grip the ball as well as he able to grip the ball in hot weather? Are his receivers going to be able to catch the ball? We're going to see. Moving on to a matchup on Sunday. I think it's going to be two good matchups on Sunday. The Packers traveling to the Cowboys. I think that's going to be a good game, man. The Packers make the playoffs. Young quarterback. I think he got a chance to shock the world. I think he have a chance to shock the world. Obviously, their wide receivers are pretty young, but they be making plays. They've gotten better this year. Romeo Doubs, Reed, Michigan State soldier. He's balling, probably the best receiver on their team. Big game changer, playmaker. Even Melton, I think it's Bo Melton. He's been making plays. He's been making a lot of plays lately, honestly. Let me go to what they did yesterday. Chicago wide receivers. I mean, not Chicago, the Packers. Jaden Reed was four. He had four catches, 112 yards. Bo Melton had five catches, 62 yards. Wicks, I like Wicks. He's a solid wide receiver. He had six catches for 61 yards and two touchdowns. Kraft, the tight end, rookie tight end, he had three catches for 31 yards. Aaron Jones, five catches for 30 yards. Musgrove, one catch for 11 yards. And I think Dobbs got hurt, but hopefully he's going to be back. And who knows? Christian Watkins can even play this game. So it's not going to be that easy for Dallas. Like, Dallas is going to have to come out and execute and win, because this can be a game that they come out lax. And because the Packers don't have nothing to lose. The Packers don't have nothing to lose. So if they're ready to play, I think they match up well with this team. Jair Alexander going to come back balling. I think their defense is serviceable. They have pass rushers, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, Savage in the back end. You know, the linebacker that damn near all over 100 tackles. The Packers have a quality team. I think they're going to be way better next year, but they have a quality team right now. And I'm going to say this right now. I wouldn't be shocked if the Packers won, because I can see them winning. I don't expect them to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if they won. I think that'd be the biggest upset in the playoffs, period. I think that'd be the biggest upset in the last few playoffs if the Packers travel down to Dallas and they win. I think that'd be crazy. But, hey, any given Sunday, man, any given Sunday. We're going to see how Dak played. We're going to see how if the Cowboys are able to establish a running game. CeeDee Lamb had an amazing year this year. Led the receivers in everything. He was one in catches, one in yards, one in touchdowns, one in 100-yard games. He was one in all of it. He had an all-pro year. CeeDee Lamb did his thing. Shout out to him. We're going to see if Micah Parsons and his defense can shut down this Packers offense. Because if you give them hope and give them a chance, they can make something happen. This can be a game where Matt LaFleur, you know, walk into that arena and beat the former Packers coach and Mike McCarthy. Because Mike McCarthy was the coach before Matt LaFleur got there. That would be something special right there if he's able to do that. We're going to see if he's able to do that, though. I think that is going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a great game to watch for sure. Moving on, it's crazy to say this, man. I know some people are going to be like, man, what you talking about, man? You can't be saying that, blah, blah, blah. I think this Sunday night game is upset alert. Who know Jared Goff more? Sean McVay, that defensive coordinator, Aaron Donald. They know Jared Goff. They watched him in practice for years. They know his weaknesses. They know his strengths. They know what agitates him. They know his moods. They know his tendencies. And he's not that much different than that quarterback that was in St. Louis, then went to L.A. Sean McVay and the defense coordinator, I think it's Raheem Morris, they're going to put together a plan to bottle him, which is going to be great to me. Matt Stafford returning to Detroit, I think he's going to have a big game. He got Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Higbee, Aaron Donald, some rookies on that D-line and linebacker. They are playing pretty well right now. This Rams team is dangerous. I remember saying this about 4 weeks ago. The Rams and the Browns are the most dangerous teams in the play, dangerous wild card teams in the playoffs. The Rams and the Browns are the most dangerous wild card teams in the playoffs. For sure. I'm telling you that right now. For sure. So the Lions got to shut this door. It's the first home playoff game for the Lions in I don't know when. I don't know when the last. It had to be over 20 years because I ain't never seen one in my lifetime. Ever. So as long as I've been alive, I don't think I've ever seen a Detroit Lions home playoff game. So this is going to be new for the players, for the organization, and for the city. But the energy in the city is going to be crazy. The energy in Detroit is going to be crazy. Energy in that in Ford Field Arena is going to be crazy. The Lions got to put it together, though. They might be missing LaPorta. They might be missing Raymond, number 11. They may miss both of them because they both got injured in this past game. And I think LaPorta got hurt to the point where I don't think he's going to be back this game for sure. I don't know how severe Raymond's injury is, but that's two weapons. That's out. I mean, obviously, you still have Montgomery, Gibbs, St. Brown, Reynolds, Peoples-Jones. You still have guys, but we're going to have to see because that Lions defense is vulnerable. I don't think the Lions defense are going to be able to stop the Rams offense. I think Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are going to be able to do anything they want to do on the Lions, secondary, whatever. And Kyren Williams is going to be able to run the ball. So if the Rams offense is able to control this game and put pressure on the Lions offense, and that's preferably if you put pressure on the Lions offense, that means you're going to need Jared Goff to throw. Man, I don't know, man. I don't think you want to turn this game to a shootout between Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. I don't think you want to turn this game into that. Because if it's a shootout, then I'm going with Matt Stafford. That's me. I think this game is on upset alert, man. I think this is a game that's upset alert. So we're going to see how it turned out Sunday night. Like I said, I'll get my picks later on in the week on another episode of Speak on the Podcast. Y'all already know how we vibe. We're going to see. And Monday night game, Philadelphia Eagles travel down to Tampa Bay and face the Buccaneers. Will this really be an upset? I don't know. The Eagles got a lot of things going on. Obviously, Jalen Hurts just got injured in this past game. Don't know the severity of that, but we shall hear and see this week. A.J. Brown went down holding his knee. I don't know I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know if it's serious. I don't know if it's a sprain. I don't know. They haven't said anything yet. So we're waiting to hear about that injury as well. Devontae Smith didn't play this week. He had an ankle. I think he's going to play this week. But, man, the Eagles just – the energy on that team, the spirit on that team is just not positive. It's not good. Like, when you winning games and you still like, man, we just not playing how we need to play. Like, that shit start to weigh on everybody in the organization, man. Like, it's hard as hell to win in the NFL, bro. It's hard to win. So when you are winning and you, like, walking around pouting and crying, it's like – That's not good energy for the locker room. That's not good energy for the coach. And it starts up top. It may start with the coach. No, I'm telling you, it definitely starts with the coach. The energy of your team it's the spirit of the coach for sure. Your quarterback as well, but your coach as well. This is going to be a good game. This is going to be a good game. I can see either one of these teams winning. But the Bucs got some – Mike Evans, Godwin, and that Eagles defense is not that good. So Baker Mayfield can get to throwing the ball all over the field on them, and then you got to force Jalen Hurts and this offense to score points, and they haven't done a good job at scoring points as of lately, man. They scored 10 points versus the Giants. They scored 31 versus the Cardinals in a loss. They scored 25 versus the Giants in a win. They scored 17 versus the Seahawks. And then they scored 13 versus the Cowboys. And they scored 19 versus the 49ers. That was just the last six games. And they have lost five of the last six games as well. So the energy and the morale of that team is pretty down. So who knows? The Bucs just might take them out of their misery, man. They might just cut the cord on the whole organization. You know, send Philly home. I can see that happening. But I can see Philly, you know, using their winning DNA that they had last year to muster up this win as well. Muster it up and win this game as well. But we're going to see, man. We're going to definitely see. We're going to see how it goes. But obviously, man, I can't wait to the playoffs, man. I love playoff football. I love football, period. But I love playoff football because every down matters. Everything matters more. You can't just turn the ball over willy-nilly. You can't have drops, fumbles. Penalties mean more now. Sudden change, time of possession. All of these things mean a lot now. And I love watching meaningful football. I love watching meaningful combat anywhere, like basketball, whatever. I love when it means something, you know. It's different than week four to now. Week four is week four. But right now is win or go home. And you're playing for your legacy. You're playing for a check. You're playing to win. Like, some of these guys, it might be their last game ever. And that's the crazy reality of football. Some of these guys that's on these teams right now, this might be their last game in the NFL ever. So I'm excited to see this weekend. I'm excited to see how these games play out. And that's what it is. I'm going to make my picks later in the week on another episode. But like I said, man, I appreciate y'all tuning in to episode 68 of the Speak On It podcast. We stacking up the episodes. We stacking them up. Season 3 is going up, man. Speak On It podcast. Lip out.